Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Some baseball ideas being floated out there. Talk seriously about with MLB and MLBPA, thinking that Arizona could be the place that they could isolate everybody, put them in hotels, maybe get this thing going. And I know we've said every day, and I stand by it, that the timeline of this, it's just hard to talk about. But regardless, you have to think about contingency plans if you're these leagues, because every single day, just like every other business, you know, money is being lost. And if they could get something on TV sooner than later, that's going to help out absolutely everybody. So we'll see where it goes, but a good first step that it seems like the union and the league on the same page. Jerry is here with us. What's up, Jerry Recco? Good morning. What do you got?
Morning, guys. The only thing to add to that, which you guys have been discussing, is that according to Jeff Passan, this could be as early as May. So it's not like we're looking at, you know, June, July, August. I mean, they could start as soon as sometime next month. Chase Field would be obviously the main place, and then they would use the 10 spring training facilities in Arizona. It looks like it would be, because I heard you mentioning this too, in terms of who's essential personnel. All the story says is players, coaching staffs, and then whoever else is deemed essential. And it also seems like they are dealing with the Centers for Disease Control. So they're trying to, you know, dot every I and cross all their T's. So hopefully this might actually work. We will see. That having been said, our guy, the Broadster, posted a message on social media thanking pretty much everyone involved that's having a part in trying to get rid of this.
Hey there, it's Brody Van Wagenen. As we all stay home and follow the guidelines of our health officials, I just wanted to give a big thank you to the doctors, the nurses, and all of our healthcare workers for keeping us safe, for going to work, and fighting this pandemic on the front lines every day.
Good to hear from the Broadster. Haven't heard from
him
in a while.
Yes, it is. You got a message. We got another pitcher that's going to need Tommy John surgery.
He did not say that.
Right.
No,
okay. This is what you heard in the background. Yeah, his text alert.
He did conclude
Jacob DeGrom.
No, don't do that. He did conclude his 30-second message this way.
It's those of you that are getting people healthy, getting people back home to their families, and putting yourselves at risk, sacrificing for the better good of our entire community.
And so some good news at least we can hope for in baseball with a possible return sooner rather than later now. In terms of the NBA, Adam Silver went on Instagram Live with Ernie Johnson last night. He was asked if he's got a better sense of when their league will open and return.
The short answer is no. And interestingly enough, I think if you and I on March 12th had been asked that same question, both of us would have said it's hard to imagine that 3+ weeks later, we wouldn't have a better understanding of where we are.
But that's where they're at right now, and he says it makes no sense to keep talking about it, have to wait until next month.
Essentially, what I've told my folks over the last week is that we should just accept that at least for the month of April, we won't be in a position to make any decisions. I don't think that necessarily means on May 1st we will be. But at least I know, I think, just to settle everyone down.
And in terms of what you were talking about, G, they are considering a lot of different scenarios.
There's been a lot of conjecture about various cities and places that might hold a tournament. Again, we're in listening mode right now. We've been contacted by many of those jurisdictions to ask what our level of interest is. And we've talked to them about what their capabilities are. But once again, it's just there's too much unknown right now.
And obviously Vegas has been the one big mainstay that people keep talking about because the casinos are available and they have the big rooms where they could put the courts up, and some even have the arenas. One more from Silver, who says this is obviously all new to us.
There was a notion of 30 days because there wasn't any of the widespread view that at that point that our country would in essence be entirely shut down over the next several weeks. And so the fact is now, sitting here today, I know less in a way than I did then.
That's not exactly encouraging, but you get where he's coming from.
Mean, I think that's the smart answer, though. I mean, isn't it? I mean, you know, at least he's being honest. There's two parts of this. Like, one, there needs to be discussions about, you know, every single possible contingency plan for these leagues, because it's important to have these things on TV. But there also needs to be a healthy understanding of the fact that, you know, we don't know exactly where this is going. So, I mean, I think that Adam Silver's doing both of those things and having a balancing act there. And I think also it's dangerous to go and throw out, if you're Adam Silver, like, oh, yeah, we expect to be back on this particular day. So I'm sure that they're working on all sorts of ideas and saying that if we get to a certain point where we feel comfortable doing this plan, A, B, C, or D, we will. But right now I can't tell you exactly when that's going to be.
You know, there's a guy by the name of Jake Novak who I think used to work for Fox Business. He might even still, and he does write for CNBC as well. And I know I'm going back years and years. He's one of the smartest people I ever met. And he's been on this thing now for, I would say, at least 2 weeks. And I do agree with him in that at some point, someone's got to give us a plan, like a blueprint of what they're thinking. Even if it's wrong, you can kind of adjust on the fly, but at least tell us what they think, how things will start to come back, as opposed to just sitting here in limbo.
Yeah, but you know what? The president said, well, he was hoping that we'd be back by Easter, and then all of a sudden he got drilled, by the media worldwide. And yeah, that was extremely aggressive when you look back on it, but then he gave you a date, and then obviously as they got closer to that date, he moved it to April 30th.
Right.
And then
but
when
I
we
agree
get to
with
April
you.
30th, probably that week that we get to April 30th, they'll probably extend it again. Or they'll say, hey, we got this thing under control. We're flattening the curve. We understand what's going on now. Maybe there are other things that we'll have answers to that we don't have answers to today. So it is a moving target, essentially. And for somebody of some significance to come out and say, this is the drop dead date, they can't. I didn't say drop dead date,
but a target date. And I think what you said right there is spot on. Easter Sunday was aggressive. I mean, we all knew that at the time.
Well, all right. So let's say May 1st, and then all right. So it's May 1st. Okay. So that's going to be uber aggressive when we get to like April 25th. We're going to say, well, why would you say May 1st? I mean, like, so it's a moving target. What we discuss here on this radio station for the most part is how the leagues are reacting to it and what their contingency plans may be. That's why we're talking about Major League Baseball in Arizona. That's why we're talking about the NBA, you know, possibly being in Vegas. I saw the NHL possibly going to Minnesota or North Dakota, for God's sake.
Nice.
So, you know, there are all these different, you know, contingency discussions out there. That's all they are. They're discussions because nobody has an answer as to when they're going to be able to get back on the ice, the court, or the field, and how long is it going to take the players to ramp it up to be able to go full speed and get back to doing what they're doing or how they do it and why we pay for it because of the athleticism that they have and the risk of injury down that comes along with all this.
All right, one thing that kind of got lost over the weekend a little bit because of what we've been discussing, the Hall of Fame for the NBA. You got Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett headlining the new class. Here was David Robinson discussing, you know, his time with Duncan.
He's the coolest customer. He reminds me of the old Cheetos cat that used to be on their ads. You know, he's just so cool. You know, there's few people who have that natural cool, and Tim has it. You know, you could see it in the way he played. He was always he was composed and under control. Just literally one of the top five players that ever played basketball.
Pretty impressive.
Cheetos cat?
What?
Don't you remember the commercials or no?
Yeah,
that just goes
to show you
how old he is and what generation he's talking about.
Listen, I know the Cheetos cat, but I would never compare anybody to the Cheetos cat. It was like a sunglass-wearing, snack-eating half cat, half human. Like, why would you think that Tim Duncan would be anything like the Cheetos cat? What a bizarre comparison that was.
Well, he's calm, cool, and collected, I guess.
Does that mean, like, Carl Anthony Towns is the Charmin bear? Or, like, because people think he's soft? I don't understand.
Would you have some sort of commercial, to identify each of us? Could you come up with something like that?
Like a character, like a
fake. I think I'm like Tony the Tiger. since we're all up into Tigers now over the last 3 weeks, I feel like I'm Tony the Tiger.
Okay. I'll be the Gordon's fisherman because he's out there and he's fishing and he's on a boat. Jerry can be.
Yeah. I'll let you guys tell me what I am.
Oh man, this
is
tough.
What would Jerry be?
Jerry would be like, no, I'm not going to say that. I don't know. Boomer,
what's the
this
angriest
is a tough one,
animal
man.
Out there?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking more like depressing, like a some sort of.
I'm not depressing at all.
Yeah,
again,
but when you go into those
narrative.
Whole like. Yeah, you go into those whole where we were meaningless things. I mean, that's a very depressing thought.
Like, I think when I think of Al, I think of the emu in the Liberty Mutual commercials.
Okay.
I love that emu.
That's not a... Yeah. Limu, emu. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I don't know what Eddie would be either. I don't know. I have to think about this. This is a very tough one to come up on the spot. But the Cheetos cat makes absolutely no sense for Tim Duncan.
A couple more from Robinson. This is courtesy of NBC Sports, by the way. He also talked about Kobe Bryant.
He's like a ninja or something, you know, one of those guys that's, you know, trained to a T. And he kind of took the training to the next level for a lot of these young guys. They began to see what it took. See, I got this chance to see Larry Bird and Michael Jordan, and those guys had an incredible work ethic.
And then the final one would be on Garnett.
He was incredible. As a young guy, just incredibly confident and kind of came at me and Timmy as a young guy. And we beat him up a little bit, but he learned clearly from that and became an amazing champion.
An amazing champion, all courtesy of NBC Sports Network. The NFL's All-Decade Team announced Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are quarterbacks. The running backs, I won't go through all of them. I'll just highlight some of them. You got Marshawn Lynch, Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore, and LeSean McCoy. Wide receivers, your guy, G, Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones. Defensively highlighted by J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald. Darrell Revis is on that. And Chris Harris also made it. Harris was a guest with Jim Rome yesterday. He was given his opinion on making the All-Decade Team.
It's a huge deal. It's a great honor, man. And I'm just thankful that all my hard work is just really getting noticed out there. And so now it's time to go get ready for this next decade.
Harris, now a Charger, talks about how he went from really no one, had no, was not drafted, and here he is on the All-Decade Team. Quite the journey.
Just really concentrating all the time, man, and just always never slacking. I think that's really what I got to this point, from being undrafted to All-Decade Team, and a lot of definitely studying and preparing, man.
And been a couple of exciting weeks for him. He goes from Denver to L.A.
I'll look at things a little differently when we come up.
Yeah, that's John Harbaugh.
Man, I got a lot of guys that already have well-decorated careers, and just to add me on with those guys, and I just want to just join them and be able to help them with the knowledge of the game. Just I've played in a multitude of defenses. I've had a lot of experience, and hopefully I can just give those boys a lot of my experience and help them play better.
That is Harris with Rome. And also, you just heard John Harbaugh, so we might as well play it now. He talks about what he's gone through, what everybody has gone through, and he's going to take a lot of lessons from living through this pandemic.
I'll look at things a little differently when we come out of this whole thing, just as far as lifestyle and priorities and how time is spent. And I would like to think that, you know, we all would do that, even as a country, kind of change our thinking going forward, coming out of all this, and use it for everybody's benefit.
You would certainly hope so. Obviously, we're talking about Major League Baseball hopefully coming back sooner rather than later. Basketball trying to work it out. Well, we did get return dates for golf. Yesterday, we found out the PGA Tour will restart, no fans, at the Memorial in early June. The PGA Championship will be held the week of August 3rd. The U.S. Open, the week of September 14th. And the Masters will be played in November. So a very cool calendar coming up, and it is going to just crush us sports-wise in terms of what we're going to have later. Late summer and into the fall.
You know what? You know what this tells me? This tells me that conversation that President Trump had with all the commissioners of all the sports.
An impact.
It definitely had an impact. He obviously told them something along the lines that if they're going to restart the PGA Tour schedule, out in Columbus, Ohio, it'd be very interesting to see what that governor thinks about that.
Well, we'll find out sooner, I would think, pretty soon.
Because the governor, Mike DeWine, basically came out and said, I'm not so sure we're going to have football in September.
Right.
That's what he said yesterday.
Wouldn't you think golf is one of the – I mean, I think baseball too, but golf, with the way the game is played, really lends itself to being able to get through this, especially if you're not letting any spectators in.
So, I would imagine just the caddy and the golfer and then another caddy and the other golfer, and then there would probably be a score or some sort of official walking with them, but everybody could spread out.
Right.
Again, they want it for TV. They want it on TV. That's how they make their money. That's, the gate for golf is, while it's probably pretty decent, that's not where all the money comes. The money comes from the sponsorships and the TV money.
Yep.
The problem with the sponsorships is that you're not going to have the sponsor tents. It's like having a skybox or a suite in a stadium. You pay extra for that, and that money comes into the till as well, so you won't have any of that. So it'll just all be TV money and whatever radio money or whatever other sort of streaming money there may be.
All right, last couple of things here. UFC will be fighting in a couple of weeks. Here's Dana White on TMZ Sports.
As of April 18th, the UFC is back up and running.
Going to be UFC 249. He would not say where. It's going to be at an undisclosed location. All he would say is that it will be on ESPN. That having been said, going forward, quite the extreme plan.
I'm a day or two away from securing a private island. Oh, I have a private island that I've secured. We're getting the infrastructure put in now. So I'm going to start doing the international fights too with international fighters.
White says,
again, he was on that same call with President Trump.
Yes, he was. That's exactly right. He says this will be sick when they get the island set.
Hopefully today we can get this deal done and I'll have this island. We have all our own planes and everything.
Oh my
God.
They're
going to fly into the island, get the fighters.
Pretty cool, because the issue they do have right now are the international fighters that aren't able to get here. So by getting this island, they can fly their planes to pick
now,
them up.
Now let me ask you this question. I know an island that's available.
Which one?
Unfortunately, it's the Jerry Epstein Island.
Oh, God. No. Can't do that.
What other island is there?
There's lots of islands.
Just off of New York City, Rat Island, a couple years ago, was for sale.
Yeah, but Al, thing is like, it was like an eighth of an acre.
Oh, I see.
Not going to work, huh?
You couldn't land any planes there.
I would not think so. Aren't there literally hundreds and thousands of islands that are unclaimed in the Caribbean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So he found one.
Any one of those. He found one, and then he'll put a octagon in there and send a couple private planes down for guys to beat the you-know-what out of each other. It'll be great.
Yep. And then lastly, SNY had this report yesterday. The Knicks and Nets team up to donate 1 million surgical masks for New York's essential workers. Guys, there you go.
Nice. All right, thanks, Jerry. Boomer and Geo on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.